Blog Talk Radio.
Through everyday trials of life, the enemy will have you question your very existence. So I come to encourage you, the believer, that
God made me, He made me who I am.
Come on and say it with me. God made me.
God made me.
He made me.
He made me who I am.
Put a smile on your face and lift your head.
God made me.
Feeling down, but pick yourself up and say,
He made me who I am.
So repeat these words after me. Say it.
I'm a conqueror.
I am a conqueror. But if God cares for the lilies of the field and the fowl of the air, ask yourself, how much more does He care for me? That's why you can say, I am a conqueror. I am victorious. There's nothing that can hold me back. There's nothing that can stop me because I am a believer. There's nothing that can block my progress. Come on, Mississippi Mass, I don't think they hurt you.
I am
a conqueror.
I am
victorious. There's nothing that can stop God's plan. There's nothing that can stop God's purpose for your life. I believe in a risen Savior. I can do all things.
Let the kings worship the Lord. Let me hear your words of worship. Let me hear your words of worship. Come on, y'all, talk to them.
As the music plays in the background, just remember that there is a king in you. And that king is ready to come forth and come forward. So just listen to the words of this song and let it minister.
Listen, the goal of the enemy.
I don't own the right. But it means so much
to keep you from knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there's power when you speak. So be mindful of the words you release. See, I know that life has challenged you, but the King in me came to speak to the King in you. You were born to rule, and I came to tell you. Let the kings worship Him today. Let the kings worship Him. Come on, y'all, let's say it one more time.
You come from royalty.
It's an aristocratic. Regina. The number one goal of the enemy is to keep you from knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there's power when you speak. So be mindful of the word you release. See, I know that life has thrown you some curves, but the King in me, the ruler in me, came to speak to the ruler in you. You were born to rule, and you need to know that there is a King in you. What has happened? The head has become the tail, the lender has become the borrower. What has happened to you? We speak to you today. Is there no King in you? You cry out like a woman in travail. Is there no King living in you? Then why do you speak with such low self-esteem? King, and I came to help you find your inner King. You were born to rule, and you need to know that there is a King. I know that some of you have been molested. I know that some of you have been struggling. I know that some of you have been talked about. I know that some of you have got lower self-esteem, but I came to tell you that there is a King in you. I know that some of you are struggling with addictions. I know that some of you are struggling with financial issues. I know that some of you don't feel like you're smart. You don't feel like you look good. You don't feel like you got what it takes. But I came to tell you that there's a King in you. I know you don't feel well. I know you don't think you look the part. I know that you don't think you got the skills. But I came to tell you that there is a King in you. If there's a King in you, I want you to stand up and let me know you're out there. Where are the Kings tonight? Where are the Kings? Forget about what you've been through. You are a King. Hey, let the Kings rejoice. Let the Kings rejoice. You are successful. The King is living in you. The Word is in you. Praise Him because
there is a King.
You will make it. You are forever a lender, never a borrower. You are forever above, never beneath. You are forever the head, never the tail.
A King is in you.
Let the past go. Look toward the future. The best is still yet to come for you. There is a King in you. Let the ruler rule. I know you've been through. I know you've been through. But there is a King. Embrace your King. And
there is a King.
Hey. Just one more time, y'all. Embrace your King, everybody. Over here, embrace your King. Embrace your King. There is a King. Over here, embrace your King. Embrace your King. Out there, embrace your King. There is a King. There is a King.
There is a
I know that life has made you feel bad about yourself. I know that some of the things you've been through has made you feel bad about yourself. But you need to know that there is a ruler in you. There is what has happened. The enemy has tricked you and made you feel like that you are beneath. He's tricked you and made you feel like that you are a borrower and never will be a lender. But Donald Lawrence came to tell you that there is a king in you. There is a king in you. There is a king in you. I can't stress it enough. There is a king living in you. Rule, ruler, rule. Speak, king, speak. Stand, king, stand. Take control, king, take control. Rule, rule, rule. You have dominion. There's a king.
There is a king in you. By Donald Lawrence. What a profound, powerful, just mighty song. And, you know, I don't own the rights to it. And every time we listen to it, I just get so excited because it gives me more revelation. And as there is a king in you, let Jesus lead that king. Let Jesus rule that king that's within you. Walk in his footsteps, not your own. The one thing I know about leading, the one thing I know about kingship is that you still have to submit yourself to God. Sometimes we like to take the reins in our own hand and run with them when really we're messing up. We've got to follow God. We got to allow God to lead us and direct us. So as the king in you, as you're recognizing your power and your authority, always stay humble. Always remember to submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to Jesus. Submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. Allow him to guide you. Allow him to lead you. Allow him to direct you. So many times we get ahead of God and we walk out and we mess up and we stumble, we fall, we backslide, and we wonder why. It's because we've taken the reins away from God and tried to do it ourselves. So I would suggest, as you're walking in your kingship, because we are all kings, we've been qualified by God through Jesus. And so with that king building inside of you, as you stepping out on faith, as you accepting your call, your anointing, your appointment, just remember to submit yourself to God. And it's not a once submission. You have to submit to God daily. You have to humble yourself. You have to allow him to renew your mind. It's a daily thing. The scripture says, take up your cross daily and follow me. So daily conversations with God, daily confessions to God, daily asking God for forgiveness, daily allowing him to lead, guide, and just send you forward. Do that. Ask him every single day. God, what is it you want me to do? God, what is it you want me to say? God, how should I go? God, where should I go? God, what should I say? God, what shouldn't I say? Should I be still today? Do I need to walk out today? Do I need to go forward today? Do I need to loosen something today? Do I need something to be away from me today? You need to talk to him. And it's not just, you know, the two-hour prayer that we talk about in the morning sometimes when just spend a few hours with God. It's constantly throughout your day talking to God. Yeah, people are going to look at you like you're crazy, because there's sometimes I have to say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, talk to me. Lord, you know. And I really do that. And people look at me and I let them look at me, but guess what? God directs me. He gives me some insight. He'll allow something to happen that gives me an answer, or he'll tell me to be still. Or keep that pink tongue still. Because a lot of the times when we're in the midst of something, we let loose the words, and you cannot pull words back. Your mouth will get you into a multitude of trouble. A multitude of sins happen because of that pink thing in your mouth. So ask God to still your tongue and do more listening. And having said that, I am so excited today. I didn't mean to get up on my soapbox, but it was in my spirit that I have a guest this morning. I'm so, so grateful that's going to speak with me about forgiveness, which is so, so, so powerful, which is one of the sins I believe that that's a lot of the things that we want God to do that holds us back. So I'm excited this morning to welcome Demetrius Aldridge to Kingdom Keys this morning. Good morning, Demetrius.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'm excited to have you on Kingdom Keys. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to have you here and to hear what God has put on your heart when it comes to forgiveness. Just so much in the realm, in the kingdom that I believe is stalled because of unforgiveness. So I'm glad that you're here to speak on it. Before we get started, I just want everyone to be aware that we're part of the Royal Court Radio broadcast, and that you can get your daily dose of blessings, of words of encouragement, of life lessons if you tune in. And I do have that lineup for my Royal Court Radio broadcast family. On Sundays, you know, it's Kingdom Keys at 7 a.m. Mondays is Divorce Not Damaged with Queen Najima Ade at 8 p.m. On Tuesdays, I Am Her with Queen Nisha Webb at 8:30 p.m. Also on Tuesdays is Majestic Living with Queen Deborah Shy at 8 p.m. Thursdays is Fit for the Kingdom with Queen Pandora Kay at 7 p.m. And Saturdays, we're blessed to have Divine Connections with my guest, Demetrius Aldridge, at 2 o'clock p.m. So you can get your word in, you can get your shout on, you can get healed, set free, and just so much wisdom. So just tune into the Royal Court family. I'm excited that I'm a part of that family. I'm excited to get the wisdom that I get. And it's really something that I believe is necessary in your life. You should always seek wisdom from wise people. Amen. So this morning, Demetrius Aldridge is here, and we're talking about, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What says you, man of God, this topic?
This topic is deep in a sense. It kind of flows with your song. And so we just got done hearing, there is a king in you. And so this king in you forgives sins. This king in you doesn't remember your sins anymore. This king in you doesn't see the downtrodden, doesn't see the mistakes we made. This king in us sees us whole and perfect as we were created. And so, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This was Jesus when he was on the cross, when people were lying on him. People were false accusing him. They spit on him. They beat him. And if you take this to 2019, there are some people who have lied on you. There are some people who have beaten your name down. There are some people who are jealous of you. There are some people who have caused you pain. There are some people who are jealous of your calling. There are some people who are after your spot. And so the title goes with the song, and it goes with what we're going to talk about today, which is forgiveness. I often believe that God positions people in our lives to test our love walk. And so if we go to the Bible, this is the perfect example. I love this story in the Bible because here Jesus is. He came to earth because he came to die for our sins, okay? And so he had these 12 people around him. He had doubters. He had a betrayer, but none of them stopped him from doing what God sent him to do, which was die for our sins and save the world. And so today, this is 2019. God has called us to some marvelous things. He's mandated us to some things. And so the topic is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So that God allows, I want you to understand something. God doesn't block people. He didn't block his son from dying on the cross. He didn't block Judas from betraying him. He didn't block Peter from denying him. Okay? What Jesus did during all this time period, he agape loved them, even though he knew what they were doing, what they were saying. And even to the end, he said, God, these people don't know what they're doing. I'm up here trying to say they don't have a clue what they're doing. So forgiveness is vital in this day and time, simply because it's a blessing. Unforgiveness is a blessing blocker. I believe that, and if you go to the story, Jesus knew what Judas was doing. He already knew what Judas was doing, but he had an assignment from his father. And so he ate with Judas, he fellowshiped with Judas, and then he didn't even tell on Judas. Catch this part. He said, one of y'all is going to betray me. He knew who it was. He could have put him out there. But he said, one of you are going to betray me. In other words, he was giving Judas an opportunity to still get it right. That's agape love. And what Jesus did was, he said, one of you are going to betray me. What did Judas do? He went back to the people that was trying to set Jesus up and said, listen to what Judas said. He said, it repenteth me. I have shed it in blood. When you agape love people, when you forgive them, even your enemies, even the ones that tried to set you up, will have to say, I have shed it innocent blood. And so forgiveness is more for you than it is for them. Why? Because when the enemy, listen carefully, when the enemy sends someone in that God's allowed, listen to what I'm saying. When the enemy is allowed to come in because God is allowing it, it's a test of our love walk. See, we can quote scriptures. We over in the corner speaking in tongues. We're doing speaking engagements. But wait until this person comes and rubs you the wrong way. Wait until this person starts lying on you. Wait until this person starts doing something that you feel is foul. How are you going to react then? Are you going to be like Jesus and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Because remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it's not the person. It's the enemy using the person. So you don't come against the person. You come against the spirit behind the person. And so that's what agape love does. It doesn't attack the person. It attacks the spirit behind the person. And so that's what love does. Love covers. In other words, what love does is love sees what's going on, but it doesn't react to what's going on. Jesus went on about his business because he knew what he was called to do. And so today, 2019, what are you called to do? Understand that whatever you're called to do, there's going to be some ought coming. There's going to be some warfare. There's going to be some distraction. And so how do you handle these things? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yep, they lying on you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yep, they're setting a trap for you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know why? They can't stop you anyway. If God sent you to do something, no matter what they try to do, it's going to happen. Why? Because you're in the vein of agape love, and you already know that you're on assignment, and you already know that God sent you, and you already know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You already know this. And so when the weapon comes, guess what you do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because at the end of the day, that agape love is going to cause the person who tried to lie on you, who tried to set you up, who tried to do whatever they were trying to do to you, is going to set them free as well. And so forgiveness is key. Some of you that are listening, you are believing God for the miraculous. You're believing God for miracles, signs, and wonders. You need a breakthrough. You need a healing in your body. And some of you are even praying for a mate, but you still haven't forgave your ex. Who am I talking to? You haven't forgiven your ex. So God can't place the mate. He can't even connect you to the mate until you release the last one or the one before that. You still have unforgiveness in your heart for this person that hurt you. And so why would God send somebody in the midst of your hurt so you could hurt them? Today, you need to let that go. Today, cast that care upon God, because what? He cares for you. And so today should be, this should be your anthem for the week. Father, forgive them. You're at work and you're one of your coworkers, your boss, make you, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Somebody hurt you this week. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Somebody cut you off in traffic. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Your kids get on your nerve. Father, forgive them. And let them hear you say it. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Agape love covers a multitude of sin. And that's what Jesus was doing. He said, Father, it was personal. He was talking to his daddy. He said, Father, forgive them. Prior to that, he said, My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But this was personal. He said, Father, forgive them. He was talking to his daddy then. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And understand what he did. Everybody that spit on him, everybody that lied on him, everybody that crucified him, they were forgiven. That's powerful. Judas was forgiven. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not. Them is Judas. Them was the soldiers. Them was the people that lied on him. Them was Peter that denied him three times. Thomas that doubted him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't even understand the plan that you have set forth for me. And so you're going to have people in your life that way. They don't have a clue what God is doing for you. And so what do you say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen. That is so powerful, and I agree. Something you said stuck out to me, and it was they don't know what they do. Sometimes there are people who do things against you, and they really have no idea the cause and effect of what they're doing. They just want what they want, or they do what they do, and they don't realize the repercussions that come from it. And so there are times that you're trying, and this is just my perspective of it. Sometimes we hold on to unforgiveness because we don't have answers. We don't understand why a person did what they did. We don't understand how they could do it to us when we've been so good to them. God has been showing me is that there are times people do things to you and it has nothing to do with you, even though it affects you, even though it hurts you, even though it angers you, even though it's backstabbing and backbiting. They don't understand fully what it is that they're doing because they're so consumed and concerned with their need, their want, their desire. And I think about it when it comes to things like infidelity, when it comes to things like cheating, when it comes to things like lying and telling stories. There are times that there are people who feel that because of their desire, their selfish desire, their selfish fulfillment, that they don't realize that the thing that they're choosing to do is going to adversely affect you. I'm not giving them an excuse, but when I listen to that, for they know not what they do, when I used to hear this scripture, I would ask, how could they possibly not know what they're doing? They know what they're doing. They know that if they're in a relationship, they're not supposed to seek somebody else. They know that they're lying on me or on whoever. They know what they're doing. But it's not the fact that they're ignorant of what they're doing. They're just caught up in selfishness. And so, and by selfishness, I'm not just talking, you know, where it's all about you. I'm talking about where their focus is self, which is what selfishness is also. They're thinking about their need, their want, their desire, or their pain, their whatever it is, but they're not taking into context the full picture. Growing up, my dad used to tell me, look at the big picture. Always look at the big picture. And I had a problem looking at the big picture. I would look at this small piece of the picture, and that's the part that affected me. And he would tell me, Dre, you know, things that you do affect not only you, but there are other people who are going to be affected by it. I didn't get it until I became an adult. I didn't get it when I dropped out of college. I didn't get the fact that me dropping out of college, which was something personal, which was something selfish that affected me, also affected my parents, also affected my brother, also affected my roommate, also affected some friends. I didn't think like that. I just knew that I wasn't going to class, that something negative happened on campus, that my life was going in a downward spiral, and I needed to get away. That was my thinking. Was it wrong? Sure, because my parents paid for my education. But I didn't think of it as it affecting them or their pockets or any loans they may have had to take out. I didn't think of it that way. What I thought about was what happened to me on campus, the negative things that were happening that I needed to get away from. And this is key. When you're in that thought process, when you're looking at the small piece of the picture instead of looking at the big picture, take some moment to ask yourself, me doing this, who does it affect? And be honest. One of the keys to preventing some of the hurts that we put on people is thinking outside of yourself. Yes, they may be ignoring you. Yes, they may work all the time. Yes, they may not be able to spend a lot of time with. They may not have it all together. Yes, they're not crossing every T and dotting every I, but you cheating on them. How is that going to affect them? When you take self out of things, you'll be more clear. You'll see a much clearer picture of what you're actually getting into. And I know this is talking about forgiveness, but the part that says they don't know what they're doing, they know not what they do, we've got to talk about it. Because if we're going to be better this year and have better lives going forward, there are some behaviors that have to change. We mature not because of age, not because of our stage, but because of the decisions we make, the choices we make, things we walk out into. That brings maturity. And if we're supposed to pattern ourselves after Jesus, to walk the walk that he walked, there are some things that you have to realize that you have to start doing. Jesus took no thought of himself. He took thought of other people. Otherwise, he would have cut every disciple he had because every one of them was flawed. There was no perfect disciple. But he didn't, because not only was he there for them, but they also had something to do and bring to his life. And he understood that. He knew that his message had to go forward, and so he poured into them even though they had negative things against them. He never took thought of, well, you know, I'm a perfect person. So because I'm a perfect person, I need to stay to myself, because the message would have never gone forward. He also had to have flawed people that could teach, because they were going to flawed people. There's nothing like someone who's sanctimonious and so holy that they've never done anything wrong, trying to talk to someone who's struggling, talking to someone who's sinning, talking to someone who's backsliding, talking to someone who's hurting. There's no compassion there. But when you're flawed, when you've fallen, when you have fallen off, there is this thing in you that can reach a person that's hurting. It's called humility, compassion, agape love, because those things are necessary for someone to receive you. If you're always bragging on yourself, boasting on yourself, puffing yourself up, people are not going to receive you, because they're thinking, if you're all of that, what can you teach me? You don't know what it's like to have your lights turned off. You don't know what it's like to not have a car and have to go 3 miles to work. You don't know what it's like to have a deadbeat dad in your life. You don't know what it's like to have a mother who doesn't know how to hug or tell me she loves me and means it. You don't know what it's like. So people immediately shut down on you. So there's flaws within each one of us for a reason. And if you look throughout the Bible, everyone God used had a major issue. It wasn't something small that you could look past. It was something that was right there in your face. And so I'm saying that today to say to you, there are people in your life that are flawed. people in your life that are going to do things against you. There are people that are going to hurt you. There are people that are going to lie on you. There are people that are going to cheat on you. There are people who are going to do things against you. And like Demetrius said, find it within yourself to forgive them. Another key thing that Demetrius said was forgiveness is for you, not for them. See, they've done what they've done, and can I tell you something? They're spending their night sleeping peacefully. They have moved on and moved forward. They don't even realize or remember that they've done something to hurt you. And so they're going forward in it, and you are sitting there harboring it. You're sitting there, you got bitterness, you got resentment, you're up at night, you're just thinking about it, you're replaying it, you're rehearsing it. Meanwhile, the person who's done this against you is sleeping like a baby because they've done what they did and they've moved on. So now, don't you want that peace? Unforgiveness causes so many negative things within you that it causes you to age. Can I be honest with you? Bitterness, resentment, rebellion, things like that are caused by unforgiveness. And you're aging because you're not sleeping at night. That means you're not getting your beauty rest. You're holding this stuff in, so you're closing out other things, other people, other opportunities, because now trust is broken. And because of that, you have opportunities with someone new. You have opportunities with new opportunities, if I may, but you don't trust fully, so you can't walk into them. You don't know what joy is anymore. You don't know what peace is anymore. You don't know what compassion is. You don't know what love is, because you have allowed a person who was being selfish to take it away from you. So I suggest, as Demetrius did, that you would take today, that you would take this week, to examine those areas of unforgiveness in your life and let them go. Demetrius?
I want to go back to the beginning, which was, look what happened with Adam and Eve, right? God put them together. He gave them this perfect environment. And so he told them, I don't want you doing this one thing. And so watch. The enemy didn't make him do it. The serpent didn't make him do it. He just suggested it, and he twisted the word. Watch what happens. After the sin, notice Adam and Eve didn't say, Lord God, forgive me. We are so sorry. When God came to them, Adam said, it was this woman you gave me. See, he didn't take no responsibility. He didn't ask for forgiveness. He didn't repent, nothing. And so what did God do? He said, guess what? Because you didn't come to me with this humble heart, get out of my presence. In other words, what you did stripped you of what I had for you. What does that have to do with unforgiveness? When you hold grudges and you don't forgive, you are being stripped of what God had coming towards you. And, of course, because I talk about relationships, this is vital, because I want you to catch this today. The person that God has for you is going to have purpose and mandate in them. And the reason why you keep attracting the other person, the devourer, is because of unforgiveness. You have unforgiveness for the last person that hurt you, and because that's still there, you're going to attract the very same person that hurt you the last. And so until you forgive that last person, the cycle is going to continue. I don't know who that's for, but the cycle is going to continue for you until you let them go. And so it's vital. What Adam and Eve chose to do is still working against us now, because sin had entered into the world. God literally kicked them out of his presence because of sin. And unforgiveness is sin. And so today, your life is going to, some of you who are listening or will be listening, you have a disease or a health problem, and it's going to kill you because of unforgiveness. Because you have all this ought, you have all this anger. Healing can't flow because of the unforgiveness. There's a person listening right now. You need to forgive him. Yes, he cheated on you. Forgive him. Because if you don't forgive him, the person that is being prepared for you cannot enter in. Man of God, I'm talking to you too. Forgive her. Yeah, she did what she did. Give her to God. Matter of fact, right now, you just need to say, God, I forgive such and such. I release such and such to you, God, right now. And watch how quickly, and you got to do it from your heart, but watch how quickly you're going to run into the person you were supposed to run into. Watch how quickly when you go to the doctor, the doctor is going to say, I don't know why, I don't know how this happened, but your blood pressure is normal. Your diabetes, we can't find it anymore. That tumor is gone. Why? Because that bitterness is still there, and it's affecting your body. And until you give that away, that bitterness is trying to kill you. That bitterness is trying to give you a stroke and a heart attack. That bitterness is running your blood pressure up. Today, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen. You know, you're sitting here listening to us, and you're saying, Demetrius, Andrea, that's all good. You're talking about forgiveness. How do I forgive? This is something that I dealt with for years because I had unforgiveness for my biological father. A lot of you know my story, and you know that he was in and out of my life. My mom remarried when I was very young, maybe like 5 or 6. And because I didn't understand what was going on, and because adults can be who adults can be sometimes, he played a game, and the game was don't accept your stepdad in your life. He's not your father. Don't call him dad. He played mind games with a 6, 7, 8-year-old. And so because of it, I had this tug-of-war emotion. I love my stepdad, and you know I don't call him stepdad, but just for clarification's sake, I'll say it today. I love my stepdad because he was so good to me. But on the other hand, I was angry with him because I felt like he interrupted the chance that my biological father had for coming back into our lives. Like, he was the reason my parents couldn't get back together, so I was angry. Then on the other side, because there was another side to it, I had the whole guilt thing because my father was feeding me, my biological father was feeding me this information about this guy, and it was all bad. So I felt and just inside out. And so I'm saying this to say today to parents, just because the two of you don't work out does not mean to put your child in the middle of it. Allow your child to have a relationship with a new person who comes in when you're at that stage, at that point in life. And also they can have a relationship with their biological too. You have to work together as a team. I'm learning this more and more as my children get older, that you don't want to shut out a parent because it does affect the child. Even when the parent may not be ready to parent, always leave a door open for them when they're ready to be able to walk in it. Don't badmouth a parent. Don't negatively talk about parents. Don't insinuate anything. Don't make children choose. It's not fair for them. Having said that, I was caught up in this cycle, and it lasted for years. So it got to the point where I was so angry, and I was angry at everybody. But the person who felt my anger the most was my mother, because I blamed her for this. This is all your fault. If you had stayed married, I wouldn't have this other man in the house. Or if you would stop forcing me to call my father, who I don't want to call because all he's going to do is feed me a bag of lies. I felt like she did not protect me. I felt like I was in these emotions, in these feelings, because she didn't protect me. So she got the brunt of my anger every which way, because I also knew that when I was bad enough, my biological father would show up. So I did things to rebel against my parents, and that's all three of them, so that way I would get the attention that I wanted from my biological father. I had so much anger and so much resentment and so much unforgiveness that it catapulted my dating. It made me want to be not like any of them, but find one person to settle down with and live happily ever after. So that whole, you know, how we listen to fairy tales was like 100 times more important for me, because I didn't want to be like them. I didn't want to have my children have this idea of marriage and all this stuff and nonsense it entailed. So I really just wanted to be married since the age of 5. That's all I ever wanted to do. Here's the thing. Demetrius touched on it. When you have unforgiveness, you find yourself attracting the very people or person that you haven't forgiven. They come into your life, but you don't even recognize it because you're so busy trying not to be with the person that you're angry with that you wind up attracting it, and it looks different. For the relationships I had before I forgave my biological father, they all were like him in some manner. They either were the stand-up, you know, stand-you-up kind. They were either the liars, they were the manipulators, they were the game players, they were lazy or they were shiftless. You know, some of the negative qualities. Now, let me say this clearly. My biological father had good qualities. But I'm talking about I attracted the negative qualities of him, the very things I did not want. But I didn't see it because I wanted marriage so badly. I wanted marriage and family. So after I grew up, when I realized what was happening, well, let me not even say that. When I was about 16, I ended my relationship with my biological father. I had had enough. He would say he would do something, he lied and not do it. He said he was coming, he wouldn't show up, he didn't call me, and I got tired. And at 16, I rebelled against my mother because she said, call your father, and I snapped out. I even wrote her about a 10-page letter to let her know how I felt. And it was not a great letter. And I think she still has it to this day. I don't even remember what it said, but I can promise you it was nothing nice. But at 16, I took a stand and I told her, don't have me call him ever again. I don't want to be a part of his life. I'm done. He would call eventually then, but I wouldn't answer. I wouldn't talk to him. I found excuses. I didn't see him. And this lasted until I was 22 and had my oldest daughter. When she was about 5 months old, I told him, and he came and saw her. And I said in my heart, maybe he'll make a better grandfather than he did father, so I'm going to open up the door just for that. He and I are not going to have anything, but at least he and his grandchild will. It wasn't until that I realized what was going on with me, when I had gotten deeply involved in ministry, when I started spending time, for real time, with God, when I started being around wise believers, when they were pouring into me, I knew that there was an area of my life that needed some work. Now, don't get me wrong, there were other areas, but I mean a major part of my life that needed work. And so I'm saying to you today, when it comes to how to forgive, you have to honestly want to forgive. Honestly. You have to want to let go. Because my mom for years said, Andrea, forgive your father. Andrea, forgive your father. If you don't forgive him and something happens to him, you won't be able to live with yourself. She said it, and I was like, okay. Because I didn't want to do it. I didn't care about it. I was like, I'm done. I thought I had moved on. Please believe Just because you don't deal with something at that point does not mean it's gone. It just means you buried it. You swept it under the carpet, but it's going to come back up. It's just like food that you digest wrong. It's going to come back up. Please, this is why we're really asking you today to do some honest things, because we want you to be released. Forgiveness releases you. For me, it took years, but I had to honestly want to forgive my father and allow him a second chance. What I did was I prayed. There was no magic potion I took. There was no incantation and running around in circles saying, help me for, no. I went to God and I said, God, I need to forgive this man. I'm tired of being in relationships that look like my parents' relationships. I'm tired of guys who are no good for me. I want something different for my children. I don't want them to have this curse. Forgiveness is a curse, and it can be brought down to your family. It can. So I had to be released. And I asked him honestly, I said, I don't know how to forgive. I try to forget it. I try to move past it. I don't know how to forgive. So, Lord, I need you to show me what forgiveness is. How do I do it? And it wasn't 1, 2, 3 where I got an answer. I had to constantly pray, help me forgive this man. He would call. I would talk to him, but I would feel empty. I tried calling him. I still felt that void. So I knew I hadn't forgiven because I still had that ought on me. I still felt that anger. I still felt those things. But I kept praying earnestly, Lord, help me to forgive him. Lord, help me. What do I need to do? And I took a class, and it's called Making Peace with Your Past. And within that class, there was a chapter that dealt with forgiveness. And we talked about it. It was a group of about 12 women and men. And we talked, and we were open. And I had to confess everything my father did or did not do. And that helped me. So praying to God first and then confessing what the issues were. He did this, 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 this. He did this, this, this. He did not do this, 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 this. It wasn't about my feelings. It was about what happened. What was the cause of the emotions I had? And then once I confessed everything he did, then I confessed how I felt because of it. I felt I had low self-esteem. I felt I wasn't good enough. I felt I wasn't pretty enough. I felt I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't wise enough. Because why else would he have left me? Why else would he have not been a part of my life? I blamed myself. This is why last week we talked about forgiving yourself. But these are all the emotions that I had. And fathers, please know that the emotions of your children, the way they feel about themselves, comes from you. Moms, we're not, we're accountable too, because children need both. But there's something about a man, a father, and a child, and I used to say especially a daughter, but having a son, I see it both ways. They need that so they understand who they are. So I didn't feel that. So any promiscuity I had when I was younger was a direct cause of a father who was not in my life and me not forgiving him. So I thought I deserved whatever I got. I wasn't worthy. So these are the emotions I had to confess as well. And after I cried and I did my confessions and I got it all out, then our facilitators asked us to write a letter. You're writing a letter to this person, but you're writing it as if the person is there and they can't say anything back to you. All they have to do is listen. Because here's my thing. Forgive my father. I reached out to him. I'm being very honest with you today because I understand where you are. I reached out to my biological father and asked to have a conversation with him. I said, I need to talk to you because I want to forgive you. So there's some things I need to get off my chest. And my biological father told me, no, I don't want to talk about it. I can't handle it. So now not only did I have the unforgiveness for the things he did, now I had the anger for him shutting me out and shutting me down. So it was doubled. But I had made the effort. And there are going to be some people who are listening today where it's as simple as reaching out to the person and having a conversation. But for others who can't speak to the person, they may not be willing to talk to you. They may have passed away. They may be somewhere else in the world. And maybe God doesn't want you to talk to them. This is why you've got to talk to your daddy first. God first can direct how this situation is going to go. I had been rejected by my father for the 50,000th time when I asked him to have a conversation. Rejection, that is unforgiveness too. When you have feelings of rejection, but everybody around you feel like I don't want to talk to them because they may not accept me. There are guys that I may have had crushes on or liked and wanted to get to know better. I said nothing because of fear of rejection. Unforgiveness crippled me for the majority of my life until my mid to late 30s. Crippled from birth or the time my parents separated until 30, that's too much. And a lot of us are walking around with baggage now that has to be released. So this is why Demetrius and I are on here, because we want you to have release. There's nothing like the feeling of freedom. To be free of these emotions, all those negative ones, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of success. What was it that we talked about, Demetrius, all the other things? Because, it's so much.
I want to go back to something you said, because we often call this generational curses, but it's learned behavior. And the reason why I say it's learned behavior is this. Is because we're talking about unforgiveness. And so understand that your children or your child is seeing you mad at somebody, mad at your father, mad at your ex, mad at their father, whoever they are. And so they're taking notes. So it's learned behavior. So if you're a woman and your children see you disrespecting a man, they're taking notes. Father, if your son or daughter see you with multiple women, your son is taking notes. It's learned behavior. So he feels like if dad's doing it, if dad can cuss this woman out, if dad can hit this woman, I can do it. The young lady sees mama half-dressed. If she sees mama smoking, cussing, whatever, she's taking notes. They're taking mental notes. So it's learned behavior. And so unforgiveness brings out behavior that you wouldn't normally have if you were free. And so whoever you're around is taking note of that, especially children, they're sponges. And so when they see you not talking to their daddy or y'all on the phone arguing, cussing each other out, they're taking notes. And then you're going to eventually see your son or daughter doing that same thing in a relationship. Why? It's learned behavior, because if mama doing it and daddy doing it, it's got to be okay. And that's what the enemy's goal is. That's his goal from the beginning, is to break up the family. And one of those key issues is unforgiveness. Because he knows if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you can't even pray. You can't even ask God. He said, don't even bring your tithe, don't even bring your money until you go reconcile with your brother. So some of you are holding your financial breakthrough up because you got ought against somebody. You got unforgiveness against somebody, and you need a breakthrough bad. It's not coming until you forgive, until you let it go. God, he's not even listening to you. He said, don't even bring that up here. Don't lay this on the altar. Uh-uh. Go back and reconcile with the person that made you mad. Forgive them. Cast all your cares upon me. Forgive them. And so we have to understand learned behavior, forgiveness can cause not only you. I love this scripture in Deuteronomy 30:19. It says, I have set before you life and death, blessings or curses. Choose life that you and your seed, you and your children will be blessed. And so unforgiveness is a form of a curse. That's death. That's not life. Forgiveness brings life. And so today, if you're listening, please, 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 this is going to help the next generation. You really don't understand that you have to get this today. If you don't forgive, you could cause your children to walk in the same vein you're walking in right now, hurt, and their children, because it's learned behavior. Your children are going to do the exact same thing you did unless you cancel it out today. Their children. That's why you see, listen, that's why you see a pattern of a mother having or a father having a child early in life, and then their children do it. Why? It's learned behavior. They saw you doing it, and they say, well, mom and dad did it, so I'm going to do it. The cycle. That's the cycle. That's the cycle. That's the cycle. And until that's broken, it's going to continually tear up families. And so today, we have to change. And the first thing you have to do is give that unforgiveness to God today.
Absolutely. And that's the part that we're talking about. The how do you, one of the other steps that I was talking about was writing a letter. Because we were in a classroom and because we were sharing our emotions, we were in a trusted environment, we wrote letters, and the letters were honest letters to the person or people who hurt us. And we lined out everything we ever wanted to say to this person, as if we would never, ever speak to them again, and just confessing it all. So we wrote the letters. We took, you know, we had the assignment. We took it home. We had a whole week to do it. And when we came back to class, we presented the letters, and we actually read them out loud. Here's what I suggest. If you're going to write a letter, choose one person or a group of people that you trust, that you can trust your pain with, and read the letter out loud. There's something about reading it out loud to people that you trust. Something happens. I promise you, I've done it a couple of times, so it's not a one and done. I've done it a couple of times, and when I tell you, the release comes there. You don't even realize it. That's how powerful God is. You think you're just doing an assignment, but all your emotions come out. You get all that rage, that bitterness, that anger, that hurt, that betrayal. You get it all out. And when you get it all out, the next thing we did, now you got to be in a safe place to do this. We burned the letter. And they said, you're done. Just pray and ask that God would do what he's going to do with the situation. That might have been, let's say, early February. Sometime around June or July, I was at work, and this is 2010. I was at work and I stood up to do something, and this feeling came over me. I can't explain the feeling to you, but it's relief. And I knew in that moment, I heard God's voice, but I felt it in my spirit that I had completely forgiven my father. I hadn't done anything else. After writing that letter, after burning it, after praying with the group, and I still had my prayer time with God, it was done. And I don't want to say just like that, because we're talking about 30-something years. But the feeling, and can I tell you, when it happened, I was tested because I got a phone call. That now I was in Atlanta. My biological father was still in New Jersey. I had lost my stepdad. He had passed away in 2004. So I really didn't have a male relationship, you know, a father figure. So I was missing that. I got a phone call that my biological father had had a stroke. And this is how I knew I forgave him. When I got the call, I called my mom. I called my cousin on three-way and say, how do I get there? I didn't have any feelings of guilt. I didn't have any feelings of, oh, I'm the only one that could take care of him. Why does it have to be me? I didn't have any of those feelings. I just knew my biological father was in need and I needed to go as his only biological child. Now, you say, well, Andrea, how do you know that those feelings were different? Because a few years before that, he had a heart attack. And I was in Atlanta, and I had the questions. Why do I have to help? Why am I the only child he has? Why he hasn't been there for me? So I'm not giving you examples of what I heard. I'm sharing with you, honestly, what I went through. Maybe about 4 or 5 years before this stroke, in 2010 or 2011, he had had a heart attack. And I had feelings of guilt. I had feelings of resentment. I wanted to know why it had to be me. I wanted to know I blamed him. This is all your fault. You weren't in my life, so why do I need to be in yours? I had those emotions because I still had unforgiveness. But once forgiveness happened, the other side was gone. I was concerned about him and making sure he was okay. And eventually, we started building a relationship. It still wasn't the father-daughter relationship because it's too late for that. But it was a healthy respect relationship. I didn't have a lot to talk to him about when I called him on the phone because he really wasn't a part of my life. There was really nothing that I could really share with him that he would understand. Now, my stepdad, oh, we could be on the phone for 20 hours because he knew. If I said, oh, you remember so-and-so, and he knew because he was a part of my life. But there was nothing, but there was a healthy respect, and he had grandchildren. So he could be in their lives. We would go visit, and I didn't harbor anything. It was all gone. Now, this is the method that works for me. I'm not telling you it's foolproof and for everybody it's going to work this way. This is the system. But I do offer you this. If you spend time with God to be released from unforgiveness and you pray and ask God what to do, he'll give you something. I prayed and asked that many years before I took the Making Peace with Your Past class. I had asked God years before that. But that was his answer for me. And it took time. So don't expect because you ask God to help you with forgiveness today that it happens today. It might. But I need you to allow God to move in his timing. You just be open to it. There are some people that you are going to forgive that will never, ever be a part of your life again. Hear me clearly. There are going to be people that you forgive that will never, ever be a part of your life again. So, no, forgiveness does not mean that person has to be in your life. I get that question a lot. Andrea, I want to forgive, but I really don't want to open the door to that relationship. You don't have to. God did not tell you that. Now, there are some people he is going to say, hey, give them another chance. Trust me, there are people I've cut off that I forgave that I was like, that's it. And then the next thing I know, here's God saying, Andrea, call so-and-so. I'm like, wait, whoa. It's not what I signed up for. Remember, I cut them off. And God said, you did. I never told you that. But it may be a difference. You may not have the relationship you used to have. It may be on a different level. It might be better. It's necessary because, like Demetrius said, Judas was a part of Jesus' life getting trained by him. He was betrayed. He betrayed Jesus, but he was also forgiven. So here's the thing. There are people that are in your life that are going to betray you or hurt you, but it's a part of your assignment. Because if they hadn't betrayed you, if they hadn't lied on you, if they hadn't disappointed you, if they hadn't made you feel that you were nothing, you wouldn't be the something that God created you to be. Sometimes our enemies elevate us to the position that God needs us to be in. Remember the scripture says God will make your enemies your footstool. Do you know what a footstool is? Remember you would go to the hardware store back in the day or a Walmart, Kmart kind of store? And they'd be in the aisle. It's a stepladder. You open it up, and it makes you taller. then you are flat-footed? Well, those are what your enemies are. And there are a lot of people who we call friends, that we call family member, that we call business partner, ministry team lead, that are your enemies. Even as they're in your circle, they mean you no good. But here's the thing. God placed them there. Some of them are assigned to help elevate you, to help you get to the position he wants for you. Because he knew if they weren't there, you wouldn't push that much harder to get there. Think about it. Don't be mad. I'm just telling you what I've lived. There are times when people who have hurt me have caused me to go down on my knees and cry out to God. Guess what? Had it not been for them, I wouldn't have been talking to him. They caused me to cry out to him because I couldn't handle the betrayal, the pain, the backstabbing. I couldn't handle it. The infidelity, the lies, whatever it was. But because I couldn't handle it, in my weakness, God was strong. So I leaned on him. And there were some people in my circle, some people in my life, some people who hurt me that said I could never, I would never, I couldn't be. And they propelled me to show them, oh, you think I can't? Watch me work. God allows it. So sometimes we need to sit back and say, thank you, Lord. Well, actually, you should do it all the time. Thank you, Lord, in the good. Thank you, Lord, in the bad. Thank you, Lord, for those bad people. Thank you, Lord, for those good people. Because your life experiences, your circumstances, your situations have placed you where you are. Only going to get better when you are free from those adverse negative emotions. Demetrius?
I'm just reminded because I get it's hilarious when I hear people holler out, God blocked it. It tickles me because it's a cliche and it sounds good and, you know, and one of the big known pastors and preached it. It sounds cute. But it's kind of stupid because here's the thing. If God don't want you to connect with somebody, you would never connect. See, blocking it would be prior to whatever you're dealing with now, God allowed it. And he's allowing it for a reason. I truly believe that Judas was allowed to be on the team to really get this part. Somebody needs to get this part here. Jesus was going to die anyway. Jesus was going to die for our sins anyway, no matter what Judas did. No matter if Peter denied him three times, no matter if Thomas doubted him, Jesus had a mandate to come and die for our sins. Guess what? You got a mandate too. No matter who come in your life, that's allowed. See, God allows. The scripture says every perfect gift comes from above, right? Every perfect gift comes from above. And sometimes those gifts are wrapped up like an enemy. Let me say that part again. Sometimes those gifts are wrapped up like an enemy. But when you know what you're called to do, those people are going to come. They come to sharpen your love walk. I truly believe that the anointing that Jesus needed to die on the cross came from Judas. Why do you say that? Because Jesus had to sit there and eat with this man, knowing he was setting him up, knowing that he was going to kiss him. Jesus' love walk was challenged. Because even Jesus said, he said, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In other words, you don't see me dying? You don't see him? You don't see him spitting on me and stabbing me and doing and hitting me? Why hast thou forsaken me? Even Jesus at that moment said, Lord, where are you at? Where are you at today? Where are you at with this forgiveness? Because I promise you, the moment You let these people go. The plan of God is going to happen in your life. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news. This is not the end of it. You're going to be connected to people who are going to sharpen your love walk until Jesus comes back. Why? Because, and I'm using me as an example. I teach on relationships. I get attacked in this area. Okay, you teaching people about relationships, you teaching people about marriage, you teaching people about this. Let me bring somebody in your atmosphere, in your arena, that is going to bother your soul. Let me see how you treat them. Let me see how you respond to them. Let me see how you treat them if they do something wrong to you. Because I want to see if what you're teaching and what you're studying, you're really going to do. Whatever you're teaching, whatever you're studying, you're going to get attacked in that area. So you absolutely have to have the forgiveness button. What the scripture say? How many times are we supposed to give somebody? 70 times 7. Do you wonder why God put that number in the Bible? Because he knew offenses were going to come. They're going to come on a daily basis, monthly, yearly. You can't get around them. It's how we respond to them. All of this is connected to our call, to our mandate, and to our family. And what the enemy wants to do is get you caught up in ought, get you caught up in unforgiveness, and make you derail your assignment like he did Adam and Eve. They were not supposed to die ever. And what did the enemy do? He set them up. What is the enemy setting you up for right now? Let it go. And let God. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Powerful.
Somebody
powerful,
needs to hear that today.
Powerful. Yes. Yes. Demetrius, that was really, really powerful. That says it all right there. If we have any questions or anything, the phone lines will be open. Any comments, anything, the phone lines will be open. But that is powerful.
Yep, if you have a question or a comment, you can hit the number 1 on your keypad, and your last 4 will be announced if you have a question or a comment. There are no questions in the queue at this time.
Okay. Well, I don't know what else needs to be said. You said it. You said it powerfully and mightily that this whole message was for. It was for the release and healing of people. It does not mean that you will not be hurt. It doesn't mean that people will not ever come against you, because they will. Even as you forgive one, another will come. You get strengthened every time you forgive, and the attacks do come. I wish I could say right now that person or those people that hurt you, that was it. I wish I could. I wish I could from myself, but it happens time and time again. And it seems the closer you get to God, the closer you get to walking out your purpose, the more they come. And it gets stronger and stronger. But here's the thing. When you forgive those people that intimately hurt you, other people who come to hurt you, you've been built for it. You've been made for it. You've already endured. You've already overcome. So it becomes, even though it hurts, even though it stings, it does become something that you get familiar with. Like, okay, it's time to release this. It's time to let these emotions go. It's time to let these feelings go. Let me forgive them. Because you start to see the goodness of God, his glory, his mercy, his favor, his grace, and you don't want to lose that. And forgiveness definitely makes you miss out on those things. Oh, yeah, God will still be merciful. God will do some things, but it's like having a closet
that has one pair of shoes in it, but then having a closet that has 100 pair of shoes in it. That's what unforgiveness is like, that one pair of shoes. Okay, he's still blessing. He's still doing what he's doing. But wouldn't you rather have the closet with 100 pair of shoes? I would. I would rather have the fullness of God and not let anything stop that. And unforgiveness stops and blocks. It is the blocker, the stopper of all those things. So I'm just suggesting, just from the insight that I have, to go ahead and forgive. Forgiveness is necessary. It's needed for you and for your children and your children's children and those connected to you, because we're talking about the family line, but you're connected to friends. You're connected to ministries. You're connected to partners in business. You're connected to your future. Those things are affected too. Adversely by unforgiveness. Opportunities would have come, or there are opportunities that are there that you'll miss because of unforgiveness. It blocks so heavily. And it's talked about in the Bible so many times. Forgive, 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 forgiveness. It's talked about constantly, Old Testament, New Testament, forgiveness and love. It almost goes hand in hand. Not only loving others, but loving yourself too. And in order to fully do that, you got to clean out some things. And forgiveness hides. I mean, unforgiveness hides. It hides in every area. So you got to shine that flashlight in and say, God, show me me. Show me what I need to get rid of. Show me who I need to release. Show me what emotions I need to release. And it's constant. There are some people who stay in your life that constantly hurt you, that you constantly are disappointed by, that you're constantly angry with, and you have to constantly pray for forgiveness for those people. And then forgive yourself, because we are guilty and we blame ourselves for having the emotions that we have. Don't forget to release those and ask forgiveness for those too. Because for unforgiveness, whether it's against another person or yourself, is deadly. Demetrius?
I think we didn't put out the 8-course meal today, and the listeners just need to go and partake. Meaning, if you're wondering why you've been stuck in any area of your life, check and see if you have some unforgiveness there. You know, as stated before, there are people that are sick. And it's because they're holding a grudge from 1905. You still mad at, you know, the little kid that took your graham cracker at school. It reminds me, I seen this this young man, it was about 2 years ago. And you know, something happened between us in like 2007. And he was still upset. And it's 2000, you know, it was 2017. 10 years later, he's still holding it. What does that tell you? He was struggling in an area. And I said, let it go. I'm not even thinking about it. Let it go. Today's topic is vital for the remaining of the year. If you want to walk in what God has for you in 2019, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They cussing you out at work, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Say it so they can hear you. Don't say it under your breath. Say it so they can hear you. When somebody comes with some negative, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why are we telling you this? Because you're planting a crop with unforgiveness as the fertilizer. Let me say that again. You're planting crop with unforgiveness as the fertilizer. That's why you're not growing. It's choking out the harvest that is supposed to come. It's choking out that mate that's supposed to come. It's choking out that divine connection for that business partner. It's choking out that elevation in ministry. The anointing can't flow with unforgiveness in your heart. You can't take unforgiveness into a marriage. Some of you are going to marry a person and still have unforgiveness for the last person, and you're going to get married, and you're going to bring that unforgiveness from that ex, and you're going to get divorced until you let this person go. You're going to keep on recycling hurt. So my final words to you is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen. Thank you so much, Demetrius, for being my guest today. Mr. Demetrius Aldridge, you can catch him on Saturday's Divine Connections at 2 p.m. right here. I'm just excited. Thank you. Gave me some things to think about, too, when it comes to unforgiveness. I appreciate you taking time this early morning to be my guest. And I thank all the listeners for listening today. I have nothing else. That Demetrius just said it clearly. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I just ask that you would check out the Royal Court Family, the broadcast that happened Sunday through Saturday. And I gave you the times earlier. You can check us out on Instagram and Facebook, Royal Court Broadcast. And tune in and get some words of wisdom. We're doing better this year and every year thereafter. No, we're not living our best lives, but we're living better ones so we can get to the best. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you, man of God. I really do appreciate you for being my guest. Any final words, or are you done?
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
And I knew you were going to take us out like that. Thank you. I'll see you guys next week, 7 a.m. God bless you. Have the best week that you can have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let the kings worship the Lord. Let me hear your words of worship. Let me hear your words of worship. Come on, y'all, talk to him. Come.
You come from royalty.
It's an aristocratic. Listen, the goal of the enemy. From knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there's power when you speak. So be mindful of the words you release. See, I know that life has challenged you, but the King in me came to speak to the King in you. You were born to rule, and I came to tell you. Let the kings worship him today. Let the kings worship him. Come on, y'all, let's say it one more time.
You come from royalty.
It's an aristocratic dynasty. The number one goal of the enemy is to keep you from knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there's power when you speak. So be mindful of the words you release. See, I know that life has thrown you some curves, but the King in me
the ruler in me came to speak to the ruler in you. You were born to rule. And you need to know that there is a king in you. What has happened? The head has become the tail. The lender has become the borrower. What has happened to you? We speak to you today. Is there no king in you? You cry out like a woman in travail. My inner king, and I came to help you find your inner king. You were born to rule, and you need to know that there is a king. I know that some of you have been molested. I know that some of you have been struggling. I know that some of you have been talked about. I know that some of you have got lower self-esteem, but I came to tell you that there is a king in you. I know that some of you are struggling with addictions. I know that some of you are struggling with financial issues. I know that some of you don't feel like you're smart. You don't feel like you look good. You don't feel like you got what it takes. But I came to tell you that there's a king in you. I know you don't feel well. I know you don't think you look the part. I know that you don't think you got the skills. But I came to tell you that there is a king in you. If there's a king in you, I want you to stand up and let me know you're out there. Where are the kings tonight? Where are the kings? Forget about what you've been through. You are a king. Hey, let the king rejoice. Let the king rejoice. You are successful. The king is living in you. The word is in you. Praise him because
there is a king.
You will make it. You are forever a lender, never a borrower. You are forever above, never beneath. You are forever the head, never the tail.
A king is in you.
Let the past go. Look toward the future. The best is still yet to come for you. There is a king in you. Let the ruler rule. I know you've been through. I know you've been through. But there is a king. Embrace your king. And
there is a king.
Hey. Just one more time, y'all. Embrace your king, everybody. Over here, embrace your king. Embrace your king. There is a king. Over here, embrace your king. Embrace your king. Out there, embrace your king. There is a king. There is a king.
There is a
I know that life has made you feel bad about yourself. I know that some of the things you've been through has made you feel bad about yourself. But you need to know that there is a ruler in you. There is what has happened. The enemy has tricked you and made you feel like that you are beneath. He's tricked you and made you feel like that you are a borrower and never will be a lender. But Donald Lawrence came to tell you that there is a king in you. There is a king in you. There is a king in you. I can't stress it enough. There is a king living in you. Rule, ruler, rule. Speak, king, speak. Stand, king, stand.
control, King. Take control. Rule, rule, rule. You have dominion.